So hard, my bass and fun.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. They can't identify me. Checked in with a pseudonym, so I guess you could say I'm Mark Twaining. Read so hard,
that shit cray.
That shit cray.
Ain't it, eh?
Read so hard,
what you reading?
What you reading?
D-Montaigne.
Read so hard, you use a Kindle? I carry spine, supporting bookshelves like a bra. Calvin Klein.
Read so hard.
Hi, you're listening to Drunk Booksellers. My name is Emma.
And I'm Kim. We're professional booksellers.
And casual drinkers.
This is episode number 2.
And we're here with Caitlin Phillips, the events coordinator at Word Jersey City. Well, I'm here with her. She's with me. Kim's
hey
in
guys.
Seattle.
The physical presence in Jersey City there. Well, Caitlin, thanks so much for hanging out with us this fine afternoon.
I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know that we're going to be releasing this in July, but I do have to say that Pride is this weekend in Seattle, and we just had the same-sex marriage.
SCOTUS.
Yeah, and Seattle is going fucking nuts right now.
Is it true that they, like, shut down parts of the city to paint the sidewalks rainbow?
Oh, yeah, we've got rainbow sidewalks all around Elliott Bay right now, and that's apparently going to stay that way for permanently.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Yes, well, it's Pride Week this week in New York City,
it's
too.
It's Pride Month.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's Pride Month.
Yes.
And so go read a gay book, everybody.
So, Kim, what are you reading?
Ah, yeah. So I just finished The Ghost Network by Katie DiSabato.
Oh.
Which came out in May from Melville House. It's a paperback original, which is super great. I love when publishers do that. Essentially, it's kind of a Gaga-esque pop star, cult celebrity type individual goes missing, and so there's this, like, mystery to it. Secret societies. Emma, you'd fucking love it. There's, like, like, transportation maps are a huge part of the storyline. It's great. It's really good. There's a little bit of queer stuff going on in there, too, so happy Pride Month. Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. And then I just started Dryland by Sarah Jaffe, which is coming out in September from Tin House. And, it's like a super, super Portland book, so it's kind of nice to read.
Caitlin, what are you reading?
I am in the midst of, Fates and Furies, which is the new Lauren Groff coming out from Riverhead in September.
I have heard such good things about that.
It's so good. It's like, I feel like there's, like, a beating drum behind me or something while I'm reading it. Like, it's just pulsating. Mm. It's so good. Her prose in this is just, like, outstanding. It really is, like, she's showing off, but in, like, the best kind of way. It's really good.
Nice. I actually just redid my entire, like, to-read next shelf, and I put that on there because of you.
Nice. It's excellent.
Nice. What are you up to, Emma?
So, right now I'm reading Cleopatra by Stacey Schiff, which I've been meaning to read for, like, a year. And so far it's badass, because Cleopatra is badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Wednesday I had a banner day. I finished, like, 5 books in 24 hours.
Nice.
Because I just went to the park and I brought, like, all my, like, smallest books with me to read so I could feel really accomplished.
Yeah, I like that approach.
Right? So I read Lumberjanes again, We Should All Be Feminists by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, which was amazing, and I pretty much marked up every single page. It was so good. And
yeah,
then
I feel
read,
like you could just, like, circle that book.
Right? Like, it's like, this one?
Yeah.
Just read this
yeah,
one.
This.
And I also read the graphic novel of The Golden Compass that's coming out.
Oh, nice.
I finished All Our Pretty Songs by Sarah McCary. Now I just feel like I'm bragging.
Brag away.
I had the whole day off. Like, this was literally all I did all day. And I finished Kim's very favorite book, Chronology of Water by Lydia Yuknovich.
Woo!
Which she's been demanding I read since
so
I
good.
Met her.
I force Chronology of Water on, like, every person I come into contact with, and I am not embarrassed by that at all.
No, it's for a good reason. That book is amazing. It's just so vivid and crazy, and I loved how I don't want to give anything away, but I felt like there was a distinct turn in her life, like, not midway through the book, kind of towards the end, and you could even see it, like, not just in the storyline, but also in her writing. Like, her writing and the story are so intertwined. When she's going mm-hmm. through shit, the writing is, like, fast and angry and just, So good.
So good. Wait, Emma, have you read her new book that's coming out this month?
No.
Yeah, she's got a new book coming out on July 7th. It's called The Small Backs of Children. It's her first book that she's publishing with Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Her last two books were with Hawthorne Books, which is this wonderful indie press and based in Portland. Yeah, it's a novel that's, like, very autobiographical, if you know her life story or slash have read Chronology of Water, but, mm-hmm. like, in a way that's clearly not actually biographical, and she just, like, it's violent and raw and just so good.
Yeah, it looks... Yeah. I was like, wow, that looks amazing.
Yeah. And for any listeners in the Seattle area, we're going to be having her at Elliott Bay on the 14th of July. So definitely come. She is, this like, one of the biggest, like, she's, like, the best, like, author personality that I've met.
So what else is coming out in July that we're excited about?
Well, the obvious one is
this, like, some book by some author.
Yeah,
I don't know. You've probably never heard of her before.
Really, yeah. She wrote this book, something about birds. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's about murdering birds.
It's like the third in the Hunger Games trilogy, right? Right? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
We're hilarious.
Yeah, okay, so Harper Lee's book, Ghost at a Watchman, mm-hmm. is, like, the most anticipated book, I don't know, of the last 10 years, is coming out July 14th.
I think you're thinking of Grey. a lot of books are coming out that day.
Yeah, yeah, July 14th is the day. Yeah, Armada by Ernest Cline, the author of Ready Player One, he's got his new book coming out. It's fantastic. It's just super fun. If you've read Ready Player One, you know exactly what to expect from Cline. Space and video games and alien invaders, and it's pure fun. So that's coming out. Emma, you've got a one that you're really excited about too.
The Golden 14th. Specific by S.E. Grove. Mm-hmm. It's the sequel to one of my favorite chapter books from last year, The Glass Sentence.
The Glass Sentence is out in paperback now, though. Yeah. It came out couple weeks ago, so
yeah. And that's about, well, didn't I talk I talked about that on the last episode, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yep. Can we talk about that book every single episode, maybe?
We'll see. Caitlin, you mentioned that we had another book coming out on the 14th.
They just announced that they were moving up the publication date for Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. It's just really a great book. Really slim book. It's so small, and I feel like it's just gonna really pack a punch. And with all of the things going on in so many parts of the United States right now, I guess they just felt like had to put it out there, had to get it out there. He's just a really smart social, you know, commentary on race and the United States, which we are all talking about right now. I'm glad that they kind of are going bold and putting it out soon. So you can look for that July 14th too. You're going to be broke on July 14th.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know, I am.
In the best of ways.
Yeah.
I guess we should talk about what we're drinking, since we're the drunk booksellers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we have been drinking.
Oh, yeah. right now, well, Caitlin, you thought of this one.
We came up with, between me and one of our local bartenders at one of our favorite bars, Barcade, came up. I told her my idea and she improved vastly on it. So what I had come up with is we have these cartons of Stumptown cold brew brewed with chocolate. And they are absolutely delicious. They're and I keep calling them an adult chocolate milk. And everybody at the store keeps kind of like, well, adult would include alcohol of some kind. So I've had it in my sights to add alcohol to it in some way. And so Emma had come up with vodka and Yoo-hoo.
Which is called, like, vodka for chocolate.
So good. but when I mentioned this to Natalie, she suggested that spiced dark rum would go better with the chocolate. And it is outstanding. So, of course, I got Kraken spiced rum, and it is called a Jules Verne.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds so good. I'm drinking IPA because I'm not doing fucking Yoo-hoo and I don't have the other. but your drink sounds amazing. I want to do that next
time. You're talking about my drink, right? The Yoo-hoo one?
Nope.
No Yoo-hoo. Retail hard life, birds trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack. Retail hard life, birds trying to find me. That shit crack.
As we talked about in our last episode, what we really want to be doing with Drunk Booksellers is interviewing a single bookseller each episode about what makes them a bookseller, why they decided to follow that kind of idiotic passion career. You know, it's not about the money, guys. You know, kind of get in their head and see how they tick, see what they are excited about and that sort of thing. So, again, our first bookseller is going to be Caitlin Phillips. Who is the events coordinator at Word Jersey City, where Caitlin, Emma, and I all met, and where Caitlin and Emma still work. So, yeah, awesome, cool. So, Caitlin, what is your bookseller origin story?
Okay, so I started as a bookseller completely by chance. So I had made a big, like, change everything in my life move in 2009. And I was working as a busser at a, like, really nice restaurant with my sister. But one of the regular patrons was Amy, and she owned the bookstore up the street. And she was lamenting that her full-time bookseller was leaving, to which the manager of the restaurant that I was working at said, "Oh, I think Caitlin is going to school to study English. I'll bet she would make a great bookseller." So
was he trying to get rid of you?
How bad of a busser were you?
She was actually pretty nice. Like I said, the big change kind of happened all at once, so I think she was trying to be nice to me. So that was on a Friday night, and on Monday morning, I went down to talk to her, and Amy said, "You're Caitlin Phillips. Your mom is Bernadette, and she was my babysitter when I was a little kid."
Oh my god.
Whoa.
"My mom and your aunt are best friends. You know, they went through all of their schooling together."
What?
"They hang out all the time. Clearly you're hired."
Okay.
That's awesome.
And so that was at Bogart's Books and Cafe in Millville, New Jersey. It's a bookstore that opened as Wind Chimes Bookstore in 1978.
That's a cute name.
I know, wind chimes, right? Adorable. And they sold, like, wind chimes and kites and, like, sure, all kinds of adorable other little things. And so it's a used bookstore. It's actually a book exchange, where if you bring us your used books, you get an extra discount off of our used books. but it actually had a pretty fantastic selection. They had the old owner, Dave, who owned Wind Chimes, was a really big collector in sci-fi and fantasy. Nice. So we actually had a really extensive sci-fi fantasy collection. So it just was packed full of books everywhere, of every kind.
That sounds like so much fun.
It was a ton of fun. Yeah. And we got to really, like, establish the culture of the bookstore. We had musicians and painters and artists of all kinds in and out of the store constantly. We had these big display windows. You could literally, like, walk around in. And we would have artists display things from blown glass to, you know, original art to... we had a 3D black light party one time with this, like, really cool band.
Nice.
It had, like, a sitar and, like, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it was just a really buzzy, fun bookstore. Lots of readers, lots of passionate people about all kinds of books, which is where I think I learned my... learned that, you know, you should not stick your nose up. These are people that love to read, and that's always a good thing.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Did it always have the cafe?
No, Amy brought that in, but now they do all kinds of, like, soups and sandwiches, and, I mean, they do, like, a full-on, they have a pickle company that works out of their business. So
they've got, like, a chocolate store.
Yeah, they have, like, all kinds of candy. I mean, they really just diversify.
Nice.
Which is a really important thing, I think, now with bookstores, is being able to diversify and fit what makes sense in the community that you're in. Yeah. They just learned that there's a really strong sense of community and people who just like to hang out there to hang out there. So yeah, by engaging them in other ways, they are able to get a wider audience.
So you left Bogart's forward.
Right.
What made you decide to move from used to new, or from Bogart's to Word?
I had been engaged with the book community a bit on Twitter, and just following, you know, sites like Book Riot, and then following any of the contributors to there, and then finding the bookstore culture of New York City, which was only, you know, a 2-hour drive for me, and kind of started following some of those people, and really interested in what they got to do, because... in a small bookstore in South Jersey, you don't really get access to a lot of new books and a lot of new authors and that kind of sort of atmosphere. The kinds of things that you get to experience in New York and in that book world was so enticing to me. And so when they tweeted, when Word Bookstore tweeted that they were going to be hiring for their Jersey City store, it just kind of seemed, again, like fate. You know, like I said, I had gotten my first job by accident. I don't see why I shouldn't get my second job by accident.
Well, let's talk about some of the things you've done at Word. So Caitlin is in charge of the Classics book group, which normally is not like the hoppin' book group, I think, at most stores.
So Much Ado About Classics, I started at Bogart's. I started it in September of 2009. So I got the job in June of 2009, and that September I started the book group. When I moved up here, I wanted to continue on with Much Ado About Classics because it had just been so wonderful, and I love so deeply being able to talk about these books with other people, no matter who they are. So it's really indulgent. It's really self-indulgent for me. It's just that it forces me to read things that I want to read anyway and gives me a total excuse to say, like, I'm not cleaning, you know, the house today. I have to read this classic book for my book group. That's good.
Book groups is an excuse to read.
Yeah. Yes, sometimes that. I love the classics. I also just love the seeing a moment in history, seeing a moment in time through the eyes of a writer. So I tend towards loving ones that are more indicative of their time period. My favorite writer probably are classic writers. Somewhere between Edith Wharton or Thomas Hardy, both of which who write about things, like only things that they know. You know, they don't really kind of get too wild. They write about things that they're very acquainted with. And I just really love that.
So are there any books that you've read in the Classics book group that you didn't read before that you hated?
Yeah, you know, we did Dickens' Christmas stories. So it's A Christmas Carol and then, like, I forget what the other ridiculous, awful stories were called. but we read that for December of last year. And I had read A Christmas Carol as a play. I had never read the actual sort of story form. Mm-hmm. And it's awful. and the rest of the stories are awful. Which is terrible, which is really sad because I like a lot of other Dickens. You know, there's some of his novels that I just think are so smart and funny, and that is not one. You know, his short stories are pretty big failures.
So speaking of picking what you're reading, one of the things we struggle with a lot as booksellers is trying to figure out what the hell we should be reading next. I think two of the three of us are currently reading things that aren't coming out for months.
Yes.
right now. So, yes. And we get a pretty large catalog of books to read and, don't have a friendly bookseller there to tell us, you know, to lead us in the correct direction, necessarily, because we have to be that person. How do you choose what you're reading next? What, other than for your book group?
Yeah, like what you're reading in advance of its publication.
We have to have staff picks every month. And so I certainly try to be current when I'm giving a staff pick. That's sort of the preference. So I usually go through my galleys and see what dates they're being pubbed and kind of bring that group home with me. And then from there, I'm kind of a picky reader. I can't really plan ahead. I'm just sort of someone that's, I have to be in the mood, you know. If it's gray and dark and raining and I have to stay inside, I might pick something different than if it is beautiful and I can go outdoors and read. So I am trying always to be reading something that is coming out very soon and then also something that's coming out a long distance. And then I'm also this year trying to focus on reading some backlist. That got a bit befuddled here in the last couple of months because there's been so many good things that are about to come out.
It's like the curse of the bookseller.
It's a sick, twisted life. I was just kind of saying this the other day that bookseller is a really twisted job because it requires people who are passionate about an object that then comes to them for free and they can collect for free. And so it's really, I haven't ever met a bookseller that's like, oh no, I keep all of my books under control and no. I don't have a chronic problem of some kind. Instead every single bookseller I talk to says, oh god, the pile. I feel like it's just gonna crush me everywhere. It's definitely it's my vision of how I die someday, is that I'm 80 something years old and crushed under a bookshelf because I was trying to get one at the top or
buried
something.
In books does not sound like the worst way to go.
It does
that
not.
That sounds terrible.
It's just my vision, you know.
She was found among the things she loved.
That killed her. That's great.
I was older, I gave myself some years. I mean, I follow a lot of people on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and I'm always kind of seeing what other people are interested in. I do sometimes peruse the galleys downstairs. That's actually how I found my favorite book of all time, is that Smart. It was just a, yeah, Smart. It was that it was just like a really beautiful galley.
We were making fun of that book so hard, and then you read it, and you were like, guys, this is amazing. We're like, oh.
It's got, yeah, okay.
Hold on. It's Mort by Robert Rapino.
Yeah, it's got a little orange cat face on the front, too, which is why I picked it up, because I am always a fan of talking animals. If there's talking animals in books, I'm totally on board for that. So I saw this orange cat, and I picked up the galley, and I was reading the back of it, and it sounded insane and ridiculous, and instead, it wound up being, smart and amazing and said all of the things that I had been thinking for so long and philosophical and, it just is absolutely amazing. I thought it was going to be, a fun romp about animals that are talking, and instead, it wound up being incredible.
So, I'm curious about what, you pick up a galley and it says this on the back and you're like, yes, this is the one I've been looking for.
So I thought I never would say it, but post-apocalyptic right now. When I got my job at Word, one of the first books that I took home with me was The Dog Stars by Peter Heller. And so I read The Dog Stars, and I will tell you right now, that is actually my number one hand sell. If somebody comes to me with, just a broad, what should I read that will, be entertaining and I will love, I give them The Dog Stars. It is a love poem to life and why we live this life, and it's just such a great stylistically. He literally, it's like reading haiku. They're just these short, perfect sentences, but the idea of obliterating the race to figure out what it is we love most is just a idea in literature that I really appreciate. And so since then, I've gone on to read lots of other Echo of the Boom, which is Maxwell Neely Cohen, which is a really smart sort of, not post-apocalyptic, but leading up to the apocalypse and kind of does
I
that.
I avoid those. Yeah. Those freak me out.
It's so smart, though. It reminds me a lot of Dark Omens. Dark Omens? No. What is it called? Neil Gaiman and
Good
Terry
Pratchett.
Good Omens.
Brain, Neil Gaiman
no function
and Terry
after
Pratchett.
Drinking. So Good Omens, where it's just sort of leading up to the apocalypse and sort of why the human race would be destroyed, and then, sort of counterpointing it with, why it should be saved. Of course, Station 11, Emily St. John Mandel's
book. I finally got around to reading that.
So in the paperback, if you open the front cover, it says, something along the lines of, what would be, what would left behind, or what would you take with you, something like that, which is just, the central question to that book, and I just love that they included that, and they sort of acknowledged it in the paperback version, so any of those kinds of post-apocalyptic, and there's a really, so there's a book coming out in October called Bats of the...
Oh my gosh, yes, Bats of the
Country?
Republic.
Of the Republic, thank you. my capacity for remembering titles as I drink more and more is becoming hindered. Shockingly.
Well, you guys have moved on to your fucking Yoo-hoo drink,
too. Yes, we are currently drinking Yoo-hoo and vodka, or
vodka
for water.
No, wait.
Vodka
for chocolate. Oh, okay. So that's where we're at. That is where we're at right now.
What is the book that you were just saying?
So, Bats of the Republic, which is by Dotson is his last name, but he is one of the art directors and book designers for Featherproof Books.
Which we love.
Ooh.
Yeah, which makes some really beautiful things. And so this is Bats of the Republic, an illuminated novel. Zachary Thomas Dotson. And so it's a book within a book, but it's apocalyptic and post-apocalyptic, but also set sort of in the past as well. It goes, all the way from, 1800-something to, 20-something. And it's a book within a book, and it's just fabulous, and
It's got maps, guys.
It's got maps, yeah. It's got, stuff in it, but it's just really readable still. This is a really engaging, smart romantic story that, like, still makes sense within this beautiful, cool object.
I'm really excited. So, and that's coming out.
Yeah,
that.
that's October this year, and I'm just really excited to sell that one.
So, just to backtrack, you mentioned that the paperback of Station 11 had the question, what would you take with you?
Because that's sort of the main central theme to Station 11 is, like, what beautiful thing would the human race hold on to in the face of all of this tragedy?
Right.
And so in the book, it's Shakespeare and art.
One of the characters is searching for a particular book, essentially.
Yeah.
Among the ruins of civilization. And so...
Wait, what? But, guys, I have to read this book. What's wrong with me?
But so also, there's talk about, like, what book they will, like, they bring with them. Mm-hmm. It was reminding me of in Wild, Cheryl Strayed's, she has all these books that she brings with her on her hike of the Pacific Crest Trail. And some of them she, like, you know, will burn afterwards as she's going along. And then there's some that she, like, has to keep with her. And so... I kind of want to ask, like, within the context of, like, kind of a desert island book, but that's kind of boring because you stay at the island and, like, read forever. So there's an urgency to Station 11 in Wild. So what is your Station 11 / Wild book?
It would probably be Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, actually.
That's the first one or the whole
just the first one. Just the first one. My favorite of the series is So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. But I think that I would be, you know, so I'm sort of imagining that I'm a bit sad, you know, being alone on a desert island or at the edge of the world. And so there's something just incredibly comforting about the first Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
It was the first book that I bought on my own when I was in, like, the seventh grade, because a friend of mine said that he loved it. And so I was like, well, I want to see what this is all about. And I read it, and I just remember, like, I remember not getting most of it. So it's, you know, a lot of, like, space adventure, and it's quirky and funny and silly. But I remember kind of sensing that there was something more to it around the edges that I didn't quite get. Mm-hmm. And then when I, like, every time that I reread it, I find a different thing that I was like, oh, man, I totally found where that joke landed. And I think it would just bring you really great comfort. So, yeah, if the world is ending around me, I've got this thing that just is familiar and funny and smart and says, like, life is pretty good all around. Even if your house gets destroyed and then your entire planet gets destroyed and then you've got to go on a crazy adventure, that, like, it all works out and everything's okay.
When I studied abroad in Spain, I was only allowed to bring, like, a handful of books, and I actually really did not want to go. So Hitchhiker's Guide, like, the whole series was one of the books that I brought, because I was like, I'm going on a journey, and Arthur goes on this journey, and I'm gonna, like, bring him with me.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Kim, what would you pick?
What would I pick?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know, I think I'd pick a different book for my Wild book than I would for my Station 11 book. Like,
well, sure.
The book that I would need with me for, like, a, you know, 4-month intense journey that I will then get out of is a different book than I would bring for, like, the end of the world.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that for sure. If I could come back and be able to switch out, the one that I would just bring with me is Jonathan Livingston Seagull. It's one that a friend of mine gave to me when I was in the 8th grade, and it's just basically about, like, being yourself and taking chances, and, and it has these, like, really strange photographs of, like, black and white seagulls. It's hilarious, but it's, like, really small, and I feel like I could just, like, open any page, and it would be about, like, spreading your wings and flying and succeeding in life. It would be a really good motivational book to carry along.
So, yeah. I feel like your Wild book, you want it to be motivational.
Yeah.
And your Station 11 book, you want it to be, like...
comforting. Like, yeah. Like, you're and, like, alone
maybe just
and...
a touch nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah. So, go ahead, Kim. What would your books be?
Well, I'm, like, staring at my shelves right now. I feel like my Wild book would be poetry, which means probably Adrian Rich. And, damn, my Station 11. You know, Desert Island, I'd bring the... complete Calvin and Hobbes, that giant, like, $175 brick of a, I'd like, because, like, if I'm hanging out on a beach, I would totally would, like, that'd be great. But I'm not gonna carry that around in Station 11 times, so I don't know what my Station 11 book would be. I'm gonna just go with my Norton Critical edition of Adrian Rich's poetry and prose.
Okay.
That's going to be my Station 11 in my Wild book for now. I might find a different Station 11 book at some point.
All right, ask me now.
Emma, what's your Station 11 book?
Well, my Station 11 book, obviously, would be Stranger Things Happened by Kelly Link.
We just had to get a Kelly Link reference in there, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys just, like, have, like, stock footage of her to saying the name Kelly Link so that you can just put it in
just, like,
places?
Fill it in where we need it. You know. No, but my wild book also is different. Once you said that, I thought of one. It would be The Girl Who
Stranger Things Happened by Kelly Link.
No. It would be The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a ship of her own making.
Oh, I can see that.
Right? Good journey book. Mm-hmm. So I totally agree. The Wild book and the Station 11 book should be pretty different.
Mm-hmm. Kat Valenti's got a new book coming out.
What?
In the fall.
What?
Hold on. Sorry, I should have looked this up before I mentioned that to you. Hi, friend.
Emma just passed out. I'm sorry.
crap. What's the new book? Radiance is coming out on October 20th.
How did I miss that? How long have you known?
The first adult novel in more than 4 years is a deco punk pulp sci-fi alt history space opera mystery set in Hollywood and solar system. Very different from our own, from the phenomenal talent behind blah, 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 blah. Okay, so that's coming out from Macmillan.
It's coming out from Tor.
From Tor.
Oh, man. If I'm going to meet Kat Valenti, I have to get my Kat Valenti tattoo.
Clearly.
Just, you know, to make more authors uncomfortable.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me. That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
Okay, cool. Book you've lied about reading.
For a while, it was Faulkner, because I was supposed to read him in high school. I studied Sound and the Fury, and I didn't finish it. I started it, but I didn't finish it, and so I just, like, you know, totally, like, weaseled my way through it. And then for years and years, I was like, oh, I totally read the Sound and the Fury. Yeah, totally. But I did rectify that in the last, like, couple of years and have gone on to read some other Faulkner. But the big thing that I always lie about, I will a lot of times fudge how closely I know the person that, you know, like, if I saw, like, a random tweet on Twitter of, you know, about a book.
All of a sudden, you know, that's your coworker raving
about it.
Yeah,
yeah, like, it, all of a sudden, yeah. It's, yeah. Like, it's like, you know, a really good friend of mine really loved it and thought, you know, this and this about it. I hope that hasn't ever backfired on me. I guess I'll never know.
I do worry sometimes about, like, being very positive about a book I haven't read and then the customer reading it and being like, that bitch was crazy.
Yeah.
This book sucks.
Well, you don't have to be, like, I wouldn't be positive, like, super positive about a book that I haven't read and don't know enough about.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Like, let's be real. Like, Girl on the Train... Everybody who comes in and is like, oh, I really liked Gone Girl, I'm going to give them Girl on the Train. Right. Everyone, Girl on the Train, I'm pretty fucking sure that they're going to know exactly what they're getting into with it. It's fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I feel totally comfortable with that. We, you know, I feel like I actually probably give people weirder books that I have read and I'm excited about because I make a weird connection.
Yeah.
I had a very sleep-deprived new mom come in yesterday to the store who she's like, I want something that's like, you know, page turning but not too dumb, and like, you know, I don't get a lot of sleep with the new baby. And I was like, well, how about a literary horror novel about a plague of insomnia? And she was like, I think that's perfect. And I was like, okay.
Black Moon
by Kenneth Calhoun, which is great, but like, I was like, how weird do you want me to get with this? So I, you know, I wouldn't have recommended that to her if I hadn't read that, but.
We just had somebody ask the other day for a, like, a graduation book, but in the, like, she wanted to give this girl who had just graduated from college something that was just gonna be, like, inspirational, but fiction, you know? So it was, like, this kind of backbendy, we were like, okay, all right, so we actually wound up sending her home with Jamie Attenberg's newest book, St. Maisie.
Oh.
Mm.
Which is just sort of this, like, tough, cool, broad book, where you just want to be best friends, and I feel like also maybe inspires you to want to do some, like, social, you know, justice work or something like that, that's just, like, really smart and empowering and good. So, yeah, this kind of, like, sidesteppy, you know, and it had nothing to do about, like, graduating from something or anything like that, but in what she was sort of telling about the person that she was giving it to, we were like, we actually have a really good one for that. How about this? And she was like, yes, it's it. Perfect. Awesome.
I still think that every college grad needs to just be handed a copy of Adulting as they, like, you know, with their diploma. That's
really useful.
Kelly Williams Brown. Have you read it?
I haven't read that one.
It's so good. So, like, useful. It's a lot of stupid shit that you're like, you know, I feel like an adult because I do that. Like, I keep deodorant at work. I'm an adult, you know? It's, like, small things, but then also, like, things like, ooh, I should probably do that. And it's done in a really, like, you know, it's done in a really great manner. I think, like, J.J. Abrams or something blurbed it. Like, you know, it's...
I bought that book after signing my first lease. I was like, I'm gonna give myself a present. I'm gonna buy adulting.
There you go.
Because I'm an adult now.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. So anyway. Speaking of books you've gifted.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking at our list of questions. So, what is the last book you gifted?
I actually gave a set of books to a graduating from high school kid. And I thought long and hard about what I was going to give to this particular kid. I've known him for, like, a decade. You know, I've known him since he was, like, 8 years old, which is just crazy to me. And so I tried to give him a wide-ranging. He doesn't know what he wants to major in college, but he is a, like, video game and, like, computer kid. So I got him Reality is Broken, Why Games Make Us Better and How They Can Change the World, because I thought that he would just be able to, like, connect to that. And I also got him Why We Should All Be Feminists, We All Should Be Feminists, rather.
We Should All Be Feminists.
Which I just felt like a boy without a girlfriend heading into college, he should have some really solid ideas about women and how to go about that.
You're amazing.
And that's... then I also gave him Mort by Robert Rapino because I thought that it might challenge a few of his ideas. You know, I know that when I was coming out of high school, rather, like, I was, like, so set and determined on so many things that I thought, and I just thought Mort would kind of shake him up.
That is the best.
That's a pretty solid.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was really excited, and, like, I didn't know how he was going to take it, and he opened, you know, I had them wrapped individually, and he opened all of them and was, like, super excited, and by the end of the night had already opened and started reading Reality is Broken.
Aww.
Nice. What was the last book that you bought full price from, like, a different bookstore?
So I just bought My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. From Community Bookstore for Independent Bookstore Day on May 2nd.
There you go.
Yes. While you guys were gallivanting in your millions and millions of bookstores, I have been really, really, really dying to get into her series.
Yeah.
People
I've
are
heard
obsessed.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. There's a really fabulous Italian writer that I read last year. Her name is Marina Mander, and she wrote this book called The First Lie. It was this really bizarre novel with a child narrator, which I have a weakness for, though I'm very particular about my children narrators. They need to not be too smart for the britches. But the voice that she does for this character is just so interesting. Without giving too much away, his mother died, and he is stuck in the apartment with her, like, decaying corpse. And...
Whoa.
Yeah. and so it's just really dark, but also just, like, really touching and endearing. And, like I said, the voice that she does for this little kid, who I think is, like, you know, 10 or 11 or something like that, is just so smart. And so I'm very interested in reading other Italian women.
Caitlin, what book have you been meaning to read, but you've never gotten around to?
Yeah. So I'm
good. You just got set up.
Yeah, I'm gonna come clean here. And say Harry Potter.
Ugh.
Yeah. I get a lot of flack for this. and as a bookseller, I do feel a bit guilty.
Guys, I've tried. I've given her the audiobooks, all of them.
Yeah. What's the reasoning at this point, Caitlin?
Emma's
angry.
I know. So the initial reason was that Harry Potter came out when I was, I think, in, like, middle school or something like that. And, you know, I was already on the Beat Poets and reading, you know, Kerouac and reading Tom Wolfe and,
wow.
Like, you know,
well,
yeah.
Well, okay.
And, like, reading Vonnegut and feeling very smart. And again, like I said, I had an older sister who did a lot of influence on my reading, you know, and really gave me books that were probably way too old for me. And so reading a book about a kid younger than me would totally be not cool. Now they just sort of feel like this daunting 7-book series that, and though most people are like, oh, they're so breezy and readable and fun, that they really don't feel like what they seem like. But again, you know, with my constant quest to read new things, as a bookseller, like I said, with staff picks and stuff like that, and then to read. I mean, just, there's a never-ending pile of things, and so they just haven't found their way to me yet. I like jumping around author to author to idea to idea.
This makes me think of that series that's coming out by the House of Leaves writer.
Daniel Liske.
He's coming out with a, what is it, 27 volume book, The Familiar?
Yeah, 27 volumes. And these are not short books.
So my question is there any author that you would be willing to commit to for that much, that long of a ride?
I would read literally anything and everything that Neil Gaiman would put out.
Yeah.
He's just one of those writers that I just find every single sentence to be magical, and like he's talking specifically to me.
Yeah. Kim?
I don't know that there is anybody that I would definitively say that I would do that for.
Lydia Yuknovich?
Okay, sorry. Yeah, no, yeah, I'd follow Lydia anywhere. But Lydia wouldn't pull that kind of crap.
Right. I'm not even sure that I would follow Kelly Link that far. I would try, obviously. Yeah. But
obviously.
That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack.
Read so hard, libraries trying to find me.
That shit crack. That shit crack.
That okay, shit. So Tampa, the book by Alyssa Nutting. Right?
Black velvet cover.
Yeah. A coworker at Powell's had recommended it to me. He, like, handed this book to me and was like, Kim, I think you'll really like this. And so the entire time as I'm reading this book, which
what does
is...
What he think of
which is, like, a book about, you know, like, a very vicious, like, pedophile teacher going after, like, blatantly going after her students, like, and, like, describing things in very, very intense detail. I'm like, what the hell is Kevin think of me? Like, you know, so, and that's not to say, like, it wasn't, I'm so glad I read the book, because I think I've thought about it more than I thought about, like, a lot of books that I read that year, and have, like, talked about it with a lot of people, so I'm totally glad I read it, and it was a great thing for him to hand me, I guess, but, like, also just kind of an impossible book to give to somebody and be like, here, you'll love this. So do you have any books that are like that you'd love to be able to talk to people about, but, like, don't really know how to broach with a customer?
There's one book that I have been trying to sell to people for the past, like, couple of months, and it's called The New World by Eli Horowitz and Chris Adrian, and the plot to the book is bizarre. So I think the ones that are hard for me to hand sell are the ones that, like, I loved, but the setup for it is so bizarre that their people start to look at me like I'm insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a book where people get their heads cut off, and then they get, like, a different, like, idea in life. I mean, it's like, it's almost like Futurama meets what's that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Total Recall.
Total Recall. And so, yeah, I have yet to be able to sell it to anybody. Their eyes just kind of glaze over when I say, like, yeah, it's, like, cutting people's heads off and a story about, like, sad marriage. Like, yeah, like, I think I'll have an easier time selling it in paperback, which I think is a thing that
that's
booksellers
true.
Talk about a lot.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I loved Jeff Vandermeer's approach to his...
The Area X trilogy.
Yeah, the Southern Reach trilogy.
Right.
Where it came out as really beautiful, accessible $16 paperbacks over the course of, like, 6 months, and then came out as a collected, really beautiful hardcover, like, just before the holiday. I mean, that was a book that is bizarre, and you have to set up this really weird scenario of, like, something strange has happened in Area X.
It's like, so you don't know what's going on, but
these women
are sent to this place, and things are really weird, and you don't know anyone's name.
And you shouldn't read it outside, because then you're really suspicious of green things. I feel like I've been able to sell a lot of people on Annihilation.
I think that speaks to the idea that consumers aren't really interested in hardcover right now. I think if publishers moved more towards the paperback original and then releasing a hardcover that was, like, fancy and had something special,
mm-hmm.
and that, like, collectors could purchase for mm-hmm. a little bit more.
People are still buying hardcovers.
Yeah.
People are buying a lot of hardcovers. It depends on your demographic and where your store is.
I have had no trouble selling Uprooted in hardcover. It's just amazing. No, I actually think that customers, every time I hand sell a Bruta to a customer, they walk out with it because they don't want to disappoint me.
That works.
Because I just get so excited that they're like, well, I better buy this book, otherwise this girl's going to cry.
Yeah. That sounds like most of my interactions with people.
It's a lot about, like, the hand motions and, like, the flapping. And...
Yeah, it's a lot of flailing.
Muppet arms.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a lot of yelling across the aisles at people while they pick up books. And yeah.
I see you are holding that book there, sir.
it's a lot of that.
Well done. Okay. Well, we should wrap this up a little bit. Caitlin, what are your favorite, like, last question here? What's your favorite literary media? So what do you listen to? What do you read to keep up to date?
Well, I mean, the big one that I love, I'm definitely a big Book Riot fan. I don't always agree with them, but I just love that they're having the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's just fascinating hearing other people chat about it. And so I listen to both their sort of like flagship podcast, but I also started listening to their newest one, All the Books.
I love that podcast. Yes.
Which is just Liberty like ideal. Ideal for booksellers.
All the new books. In like a half what hour. What they're excited about really quick.
Yeah.
They're also coming out with another podcast about just book recommendations. Like people send in questions.
Oh yeah, with Amanda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds really cool.
Yeah. I also love Two Book Minimum.
Oh yeah, that's really funny.
Which is where they have, so there's the two hosts and then they have a comedian and an author. And so they just kind of go off on tangents and rants.
Did you listen to the Emily St. John Mandel one?
Yeah, it's so good.
It was so good because the comedians never read the book except for this one. The comedian read the book and was like, this is amazing, and actually wanted to talk about the book, which was like such a testament to Station 11. So good.
Yeah. I also just love Twitter. Like, I just love bookish Twitter.
Yeah.
You've actually done a lot of really great bookish Twitter thing. Like, you made a very good presence for yourself.
It's so much fun. I just love it. Like the community is so much fun. There's a lot of terrible, awful, like, you know, vitriol on Twitter. But somehow
not in the book corner.
Yeah, somehow on bookish Twitter, everybody sort of shuns those that come with negativity.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
I used to think that Twitter was just like a bunch of people in a room yelling. And it is, but, like, in bookish Twitter, it's a bunch of people in a room yelling about books, and I'm okay with that. I want to yell about books, too, so let's all yell together.
Yeah, everybody's just so, inviting, and I feel like everybody is very supportive of one another, mm-hmm. and I feel like that, especially with the women of bookish mm-hmm. Twitter, there is so much just fabulous, like, you go, girl, I'm so proud of you, I'm so happy for you. Like encouragement, that, you know, female friendships and females kind of get like a bad rap of being like very catty. Yeah. And like, and, you know, and like, oh, jealousy and stuff. And it's just not like that on, on the bookish Twitter. It just feels more supportive and everybody is like, look at this fabulous, cool, wonderful thing that this person that I know just through the internet, you know, it's not even necessarily like a closeness. It's just, you know, that we have a spot and a voice and a platform, and we can talk about all kinds of really cool, interesting things through that.
Cool. Well, we should wrap up. Caitlin, you're like, again, as we were just talking about, you are on the internet on Twitter at Bookarista.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to spell that just to make sure that, I mean, we'll put in the show notes, but.
Yeah. So on Twitter, I am at BookArista at Bookarista. And then on Instagram, I'm at the Bookarista. And I do also have a website at bookarista.com. And then if you want book recommendations or just want to chat with me, I'm bookarista@gmail.com. You can find me in all ways on the internet as Bookarista.
And if you're in the New York area, go swing by Jersey City and you can hang out at Word. Awesome. Well, you can find us on Twitter at Drunk Bookseller singular. We are on Tumblr as the Plural Drunk Booksellers. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher for the podcast. And our Libsyn, which is where we've been sending everybody, is drunkbooksellers.libsyn.com. That's kind of the landing page for the site. Definitely, like, go check out the show notes, guys. I know that a lot of people didn't last time, and they were like, I forgot what that book was. Like, we spend a lot of time going through and, like, listing all the books and, like, having links to the independent bookstores that you can buy them at and stuff like that. So totally check them out. We also had GIFs in there. So, like, you know, and videos and, you know, some fun stuff.
We make it fun for you.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. So, definitely check out either on Tumblr or on their Libsyn page.
Kim, do you want to plug anything about yourself?
I have nothing to plug. I have a Twitter. I don't go on there. I'm at Finale of Seam. So, you know, if you feel like it, you can follow me. I don't particularly care. I'm much more interesting at the Drunk Booksellers login. And otherwise, I don't have anything to plug. No.
Well, you can follow me at The Bibliot on Twitter. I also recently started writing for Book Riot, so you can look me up there.
go read Emma's articles on Book Riot. They're great. They mention me, which is particularly great, and also are, like, super nerdy and wonderful in all ways. So, go check that out, too. I think
thanks
that's
for
our...
listening.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. We will hopefully be back first week of next month.
Yeah.
So,
thank you guys.
See you then. Thanks so much,
Caitlin. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page.
I am now marking my page. Don't want a crease on my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't want to forget this page. I've got bookmarks at home, but I forgot one for the road.
I have a bookmark that I can loan.
Know how many bookmarks I own? I am now marking my page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. Don't let me forget this page. Page.